I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. Alright, now we have a club update, this time talking about West Ham United with Sean, who you may know from at West Ham Football on Twitter, and Claret and Hugh, and pretty much if you read anything or hear anything about West Ham, it's probably him doing the writing and or talking. Sean, very nice to have you back on. Sorry it's not in better circumstances. Let's start with just the football. There are so many issues surrounding the club at the moment, but let's just focus on the football thus far. How have West Ham gotten off to such a poor start?
Well, I wish I knew. You know, we had such a great season last season, and you know, our no different really with our pre-season. You know, obviously went out to America and Austria, and you know, normal things that any Premier League team would do. We struggled in Europa. You know, after winning against Domžale, we then at someone joked that West Ham are the only Premier League team to have a Romanian bogey side. And obviously, as some of our fans would say, we got beaten by the Romanian farmers, Astra Gugu, beat us for the second year and knocked us out for the second year running out of Europa League. And I think it all started from them, really. You know, maybe you could say we were a little bit unlucky in our first two games playing. You know, we played Chelsea, and I would say that, you know, they deserve to have Costa sent off. And, you know, we held our own against a very poor Chelsea. And then we played, I've forgotten already, Arsenal, wasn't it? Was it Arsenal or Man City? I can't forget already, you see. Because it was Aguero, wasn't it? It was Man City. Yeah. It was Aguero that should have been sent off, and obviously he was banned for three games afterwards on video footage. Would a 10-man change the game there? I don't know. We got that one win at Bournemouth, which really was a very scrappy game. You know, we won it in the 87th minute or not, 1-0. And then we really started to go downhill, you know. We lost 4-2 against Watford, and had, you know, a lot of trouble in the stadium, which I'm sure you're going to talk about later. We then, back of that, lost 4-2 away to West Brom. And then we had a brief moment of excitement. It wasn't excitement. We faced Accrington Stanley in the League Cup. We won 1-0 for a Dimitri Payet free kick in the 96th minute. Just about deserved, but not really, to stay in it and face Chelsea next round. And of course, probably the worst, a 3-0 drubbing against Southampton on Sunday. And probably one of the worst performances I've seen in a long time. And by the way, you know what? West Ham had scored in the last 18 games, which was a new record for us. Up until yesterday, Premier League games we'd scored in 18 games in a row since February 2016. Again, against, funny enough, Southampton. And guess what? We didn't score again. Or not only did we not score again, we fell apart. We self-destructed. We lost 3-0. 11 goals now in three games we've conceded. It's atrocious, but it's not just a defensive problem. It's a midfield problem. It's an attacking problem. It's a management problem. It's the whole team. What it's not is anything to do with the London Stadium whatsoever. It's not about the popcorn. It's not about artificial crowd noises that allegedly happened. It's not about two-foot hot dogs. It's not about fighting over standing or sitting. It's about none of this. This is all on the pitch stuff. And I don't know. And do you know what? It's a mystery to even West Ham what's going on. You know, first of all, I dispel a myth. Bilic has not lost the dressing room, right? He's not, you know, suddenly the players lost in him. You know, we've got quite, some have argued whether the quality of people we bought with a lot of freebies, etc., were good enough. But, you know, we built on what team we had last year, and we should be doing a lot better than now. I hear there's rumours there is a clear the air meeting tonight, that they're going off to a restaurant, Bilic and the players, to clear the air. And I do hear rumours that maybe Bilic is a little bit, and I'm sure if you've seen him on the radio, he speaks his mind, he's a bit fiery, and he can lose his temper. But, you know, these are professional footballers. We have a manager. I mean, how would they have dealt with Alex Ferguson, who used to throw shoes, for Christ's sake? So I don't see why, you know, a temper could be causing Premier League footballers on the wages they are to get frightened, etc. It's obviously a confidence problem. And do you know what? It becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more pressure that goes on you, the harder it is to get out of it. But I don't know the solution at the moment. Some people in the media have been calling for maybe Bilic was a one-season wonder and it's time for him to go. We ran a poll on Clarence Hugh today with over 1,000 people, which makes it statistically accurate. And over 78% do not want him sacked. If he loses his fifth game on the row, we've lost four in a row at the moment. If he loses his fifth Premier League game on the row on Saturday against Middlesbrough at home at the London Stadium on Saturday, 78% of fans do not want him sacked. But I don't know. From the outsider, I don't know. What are you seeing from... I'm generally interested to hear what you're seeing when you're watching the games and where the problems are.
Yeah, it definitely is not great to watch, for starters. There's a lot of lack of communication and a lot of players kind of walking and jogging around, which, you know, it's the hardest thing to actually judge and the easiest thing to say in the media is there's an attitude problem, because it's the one thing that they can't confirm or deny. But it does look like that a little bit. The second goal against Southampton, where there were four defenders clustered and then just infinite space for Southampton to play through, I think was a massive problem. The Balogun, the Europa League thing, again, I thought was very surprising, although I did see somebody saying that at some point Bilic had said you were willing to sacrifice the Europa League to try to get further up the table this season. You know, me and Dan...
Actually, no, that's not true.
No,
we
really.
Actually, if you look at our squad, we actually built a squad for both European... We built two squads, and which is why we went for mediocre rather than building one. We built a squad for cup games. Let's just say cup games, not only a European, but maybe domestic cup. We built one squad for cup games. We built one squad for the Premier League. So no, it's not true that we, you know, we thought we could go a lot further. I'm not saying we could say we could win it. We thought we were getting the group stages of the Europa League, and we failed abysmally.
Yeah. Obviously, you've had a lot of injuries with Cresswell, and then you're like, okay, well, we replaced him with Masuaku, who last time you came on here, you were talking about how the club are very confident in him. Now he's out. On the right, you had Byram. Looks like he's out. Now it's Nordveit, who is more of a defensive midfielder, maybe a center back, probably not a right back. You have loads of wingers. Lanzini still looks good, by the way.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but he moved Mikel Antonio back to right back yesterday.
He's
a winger. We were singing, he's a winger. He plays on the wing. He plays on the wing.
Most headed and goals in 2016, Mikel Antonio.
I don't know if he's lost it, but he was the top Premier League goal scorer, joint top, as from entering the weekend.
Yeah.
And he's incredible, you know, top, as you said, top goal scorer from his head in 2016. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it is, you know, even our goalkeeper, Adrian.
He looks a shadow of himself, and I really like Adrian.
As you say, left back, you know, we lost Cress. I think we really miss Cresswell. I mean, I can never say his name, Masueke. What's his name?
Masuaku.
Masuaku. There's a lot of controversy about him. £1.8 million went missing in the deal, and we've got a private investigator investigating where the money went. Emilian Piarcos, chairman, has been involved in alleged match fixing in the past. It's all on public record. There's a lot going on that deal. But actually, at the end of it, he started brilliantly. You know, we were saying he was, and I think I said, he was one of the best players. And would Alan Cresswell get back into the team? And then he self-destructed and played the worst he's ever played and cost us probably at least one, possibly two games. Mm. Our centre-backs can't seem to hold, you know, be consistent. Ogbonna, Reed... We just can't, and James Collins, who's had some awful games, just can't seem to get a steady partnership. Mm. As you said, on right back, we've had Antonio. Byron's just been shown up and just not up to it at the moment. And we put Abeloa in, and then we move him to left back on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, but it's not just that. When you look above in midfield,
Coyote
is one of our best players. And he is a shadow of himself. Yep. I don't know what's going on with him. Mark Noble, our skipper, also not showing up. You know, it's not just, you can't just blame it on the defence. You've got to look everywhere. Even Payet seems to be a shadow of his previous self in the Euros. And I hate to say this, but we're missing Andy Carroll.
Zaza has not shown up.
Yeah, Zaza has not shown up. And this Caleri guy from Argentina is really lacking confidence.
Everything but the finish, but he's significantly not having the finish.
Yeah, and you know, as I say, we want Afro Sacco back. We want Aaron Cresswell back. We want Andy Carroll back. And it would be good to actually see what AU can do as well after spending $20.5 million on him.
Yeah.
Everything's not going our way. And, you know, I guess we're trying not to panic. But this time last year, after six games, do you know where West Ham were?
Third?
Second, briefly.
Mm.
We were second behind Man City and ahead of
everyone else.
Leicester City on goal difference. We had 12 points from six games. We had... we'd conceded seven goals, but we'd scored 13.
Yeah.
Now, we've got the exact opposite. We've lost five games. We've won one. We're on 3 points. We're in 18th position. We've conceded 16 goals. And we've scored seven.
Yeah.
It's a shocking state of affairs. It really is.
Yeah.
And I've only you're lucky you've got me tonight because I've only just got over the depression from Sunday.
Fair enough. You mentioned that it's not the stadium factors, but aside from the football, obviously there is a lot of news there. Some fans, as you already mentioned, have been blaming the stadium. You don't think that's it? What has that transition been like though, outside of just the football? What's the experience been like?
I mean, it's not bad. It takes some getting used to. I mean, walking up to it is a bit like going to Wembley. And I still haven't got used to it, even though I went on Sunday. So, you know, walking over the bridges is very much like walking down the Wembley Way. So many more people. And, you know, all the food places outside. It's got a very much a cup day feel of it. And you forget it's your stadium. It's such a massive place. But, you know, it's got so much potential. There's so much change to begin with. So, you know, yeah, there have been problems. You know, when you migrate 26,000 people and you add another 26,000 people because we've got 52,000 season ticket holders, you're not going to get everything right first time. So there were people that have stood for the last 20 years and people who've either never been before or who are used to stand, you know. So you've got people that stand, people want to sit, old people, young people, disabled people. And unfortunately, and I'll tell you this for a fact, we had lots of salespeople, some of which were Tottenham fans, some of which who weren't West Ham fans, working at Stratford, selling season tickets. Do you think they cared where people sit? Of course they didn't. They were bonus to sell season tickets. So they just sold them any way they could. And they did a really good job because they sold 52,000 of them. But they didn't really care where people sat. So we've moved over 250 people so far in season tickets. So if they wanted to sit in a standing area, we've moved them. If they thought that the language was too ripe, we've moved them into a, you know, into a more serene place.
Family-friendly zone.
Yeah, family-friendly. But, you know, yesterday at the Southampton game, it was perfect. There were no trouble whatsoever. We had a small amount of problem at the Bournemouth game I went to, mostly caused by lack of segregation. We scored late on, which upset Bournemouth fans. They let Bournemouth fans come out at the same time. It was a Sunday afternoon kickoff. Everyone had been on the beer because it was summertime. And a few people got leery. Unfortunately, it was a few isolated incidents. And this is what I'm going to tell you, a common theme. The problem is someone recorded it and put it on YouTube. Half the problems in the London Stadium are all to do being exaggerated because of social media. And, you know, someone tweets out a picture or a YouTube video of fighting. You've got to remember, there's 57,000 people there. In our seven games we've played there, over 300,000 people have been through the door. And yet, the video clips of two drunk people fighting is what makes the news. You know, people in non-West Ham shirts being photographed on social media. So people in there in Man United, Chelsea shirts. Very disrespectful to go to another stadium in someone else's shirt. Again, that makes the news. You know, there was this thing that West Ham fans are fighting among themselves. Again, very isolated, heated disputes between two sets of fans. One we wanted to sit, one we wanted to stand. Heavy-handed stewards come in to break it up and they cause bigger problems. Same with segregation. Unfortunately, no segregation between away fans and home fans. It was asking for trouble. All I'll say is now is when I went yesterday, police are everywhere, very visible. They were 750 stewards. There's now 950 stewards. They've thrown a lot more people at it. It's a lot more pleasant experience. Some people have taken the mickey. You can buy popcorn and Ben and Jerry's there. But this is modern football. And if people want to eat popcorn and they want to eat 2-foot hot dogs, so they've got street food stands and some gourmet foods and some specialist bitters, why not? Choice. It's up to whether people, you know. In my day, you would have warm beer and a packet of peanuts.
And nowadays, you'd like it.
And you'd like it. Nowadays, you wouldn't be allowed to sell peanuts because someone would have an allergy. Health and safety wouldn't allow you. But that moves on to, you know, because there's a lot of focus on our stadium now. So we had a journalist from The Independent called Tom Peck who went to the stadium and he couldn't get in. He turned up late, by the way, and he couldn't get in. And he complained on Twitter, to his official Twitter following, about a ticket chaos problem. I got involved in this and we found out that actually he'd been sent a print-at-home ticket and used the wrong one. He used his season ticket because he bought it too late and then tweeted out how ticket chaos and everything. It made the news and everything. And he was very embarrassed afterwards. But did you know what? That doesn't make the news, that he got it wrong. He was sent an email with his ticket on that got lost in his PAM folder. But the news was another ticket chaos in the London Stadium. Mm. And the last example I'll give you is this silly, silly story about West Ham have been sending artificial crowd noises.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask about.
So I wrote an article for Karen Hugh about this because it made, you know, the lads' Bible. It made 101 goals. It was tweeted out by some prominent, you know, Twitter accounts, including Hugh Wizzy from Arsenal, who used to many years ago be on this podcast. And it was just rubbish. It was a neutral fan, and this is what annoys me, from QPR, said he heard it and tweeted it out. It was then repeated by a commentator called Martin Tyler, who I think commentates on US commentary of the Premier League, among others. But there was nothing in it. And you know, the club called me up today quite upset about this and said, Sean, you know, can you correct this? We have never, ever played crowd noises. We never will. We never have. It's just not true. And if you don't believe us, talk to our production company. And I got a statement from the production company as well, and they went, never done it. Absolutely, categorically, never done it. So, you know, the truth never matters. And part of what the club was saying to me today was, you know, it's not their job to be mythbusters, you know, to say there's so many myths that come out about the stadium. You know, there's a myth that you can't see, that you need a pair of binoculars, from rival fans. There's a myth that, you know, we can't fill it and it's full of empty seats. There's a myth that we play goal music. That was another one. We play goal music when someone scores. There's this new myth that we play crowd noise to try and substitute, you know, atmosphere. All I can tell you is go yourself. Look at it yourself. Don't listen to social media.
Don't wear someone else's kit.
But don't wear anyone else's. I mean, right. we did come down on that now. So if you do turn up in someone else's kit, away fans allowed, obviously, you will be denied permission to come in the Olympic Stadium. But it's a great stadium. It's iconic. I think it's going to be a great home for us. It's just going to take some time to get used to. But all I say is don't believe the hype. Go yourself, Kevin, when you're over.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for clearing all of that up. That should do it for us now. But thank you so much for rejoining us. Would you like to tell folks where they can find you?
Yeah, they can find me on at West Ham Football on Twitter. As you said earlier, I write for ClarenceHugh.info. I write for WestHamTillIDie.com. And I do a podcast of my own at morethanjustapodcast.co.uk. And that's more as in Bobby Moore, M-O-O-R-E.
Yep, thanks for joining us. I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Cheers, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.